There's only one thing that can make last night's Sacramento Kings blowout win of the Brooklyn Nets on national TV better, and that's Jerry Reynolds on Locked On Kings the next day. Well, I got him. Jerry joins me to talk about the significance of last night's win for the city of Sacramento, to talk about the play of De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis, and give us some of that coaching insight on Mike Brown developing his rotations and starting to really figure this team out, even though it took an 0-4 start to get there. It's all right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports producer and reporter at ABC 10 News. Thank you for all of the support of yesterday's podcast following the Kings blowout, to say the least, win of the Brooklyn Nets, putting up 153 points. It just was such an incredible night. And for those who listen to the podcast or watch the podcast, you could see the passion and hear the passion that I felt, the significance of that night I felt, not just for the Kings and not just for the team, but for the city of Sacramento, and the message that we all got to send in our own way to a national NBA audience. Don't usually get those opportunities to send those messages. So it was a very, very special night. If you missed that podcast and kind of the emotion and fun of that, I highly encourage you to check it out. But on today's episode of Locked On Kings, having Jerry Reynolds, Sacramento Kings legend, former broadcaster, former head coach, to get him on is always a treat, but to get him on the day after a night like last night is even more special. So Jerry and I are going to talk about a bunch of different stuff, like I alluded to in the introduction, plenty of stuff that you're going to want to respond to. But if you know Jerry, I'm sure you love Jerry, and his word is almost like holy when he talks about basketball here in Sacramento. So I really appreciate him taking the time. So please enjoy my conversation with the absolute legend that is Jerry Reynolds. The only thing that could make last night better for the Sacramento Kings is waking up the next morning and getting to speak to the legendary Jerry Reynolds, who I see all the time. Why? Because us media, we enter through the Jerry Reynolds media entrance into the Golden One Center every single day. So he's, of course, a Kings legend in so many ways, former head coach, longtime broadcaster, longtime analyst. So to get Jerry here on Locked On Kings the night after the special night that we had in the Golden One Center last night is a real treat. Jerry, first off, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to have you. But I watched last night's game, and people see the Kings put up 153 points, which is ridiculous. People see the Kings absolutely blow out the Brooklyn Nets, who, even though they have their struggles, they still have Kevin Durant on it. But what I saw, what I felt being in that building, and I wonder if you felt this or kind of saw this or sensed this as well with how well you know this city, I felt that the national stage last night was an opportunity for not only this team to send a message to a national audience like, hey, take us seriously, but for the city also to send a message like, we're still very much here. This is still very much a basketball town, even if there hasn't been winning here in almost two decades. Did that translate to you as well as someone who's very ingrained into the Sacramento community?
Yeah, I really did. I thought it was a real turning point for the franchise here in the last 20 years. I mean, because you know, it's a case where obviously Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, there's a lot of, obviously we know they all their issues and they're not a good team right now. But it was such a surprise, clearly, to the Shaqs and the Charles Barkleys and so much of the national media that, you know, boy, the Sacramento Kings team has a lot of talent and are really good. And, you know, it's like and there was no reason they should have been feeling that way. You know, I mean, we know what's happened here, but it's also true. We'd watched them, this team this year, play everybody close, lose to some pretty good teams, get a couple of bad whistles, you know, that maybe or maybe not cost anything. We can't go with that. But But I guess in a nutshell, it's a case where it was clear to any audience tuning in, and even the national audience, which never pays attention to the Kings, that, boy, this is a nice team, and they've still got a great fan base. And if they ever get good again, it'll be just like it was a couple of decades ago.
Jerry, you've been on NBA benches before. You've also had many a courtside seat. When there are nights like last night where everything is going right, and what stood out to me so much from this game is, of course, Terrence Davis had the night that he did 31 points off of the bench, which was great to see, but it was a really balanced attack. The Kings only got 31 combined points from their two best players in De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis in a 32-point blowout win. That seems pretty unique. It was very much a team was on and everybody was trying to get in and get their opportunity. You've seen that or witnessed that from a coaching perspective and on a bench perspective. What is that like when a team knows, man, everything we touch tonight is gold?
Well, it did. It was great from the standpoint that you didn't need your two major stars to have major games. Certainly they were both very effective and very good, but it just showed you the depth of this team. Now, you know, quite honestly, as a coach of years ago with the Kings, I never had that kind of depth. So no, that was not a possibility that you had somebody that could come in like Terrence Davis and really, you know, Trey Lyles and Malik Monk. I mean, that's the thing that, you know, I think that is different from this team compared to any team in the last 15 years is the quality of players on the bench, the roster. All credit to Monty McNair. He's done a marvelous job putting this roster together. And, you know, they're actual NBA players who are sitting down there that could start on quite a few teams. And then there's some pretty good players who would be regular rotation players like Landon Holmes who aren't getting the chance to play at all. And I understand that.
How significant is that depth to a star like De'Aaron Fox? Because it seems like he's playing with more of a freedom this year, knowing that, like in the past, Jerry, the run that the Kings went on in the second quarter really to put the game away very early against Brooklyn last night, the majority of that run happened with De'Aaron Fox on the bench. Now, some people might twist that and say, oh, wow, the Kings were at their best last night when Fox was out, and kind of misunderstand my point. My point is De'Aaron in the past had to be the guy to facilitate that, or it didn't happen. This time it happened because a 9th, 10th man off the bench came in and scored 31 points, but it started with his defense. Like, how significant in your mind is that to someone like De'Aaron, who's had to kind of carry the weight of wins and losses for this franchise on his shoulders his entire career, to have guys like that and opportunities like that for when he comes out of the game, the Kings can still thrive and almost take the job that he needs to do from him a little bit?
Well, it's important. If you're going to have a winning team, you certainly have to have major stars, which I think the Kings have a couple. But you also have to be able to play without them. You also have to be able to even maybe win a game occasionally without them. Now, what we know is, in my mind, is, yeah, what happens in the second and third quarter is very important. But for the Kings to win and any good team to win consistently, there's going to be close games. And then there are those special players down the stretch of games, i.e. Fox, Sabonis, that really make the difference. And so you don't want to get confused. And I would tell fans, yeah, they played extremely well without Fox in the second quarter. Reminder, it's second quarter of a game. It's not particularly close or no real pressure at that point. So it doesn't change a thing. It just proves that you have a real quality bench and that if you had injuries, you might could insert some guys in the starting lineup and get by for a few games and not too much of a drop off. But when it comes winning time, always the more talented guys determine who's going to win. And I always say, when you're a winning team, look at the top of the lineup. And when you're a losing team, look at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, and Fox has been very good in winning time. He looks like someone who has the confidence when he's on the floor that he knows he can get everything that he wants, but he also knows he doesn't have to get it in all facets of the game or every single time he's on the floor. We've seen him kind of coast sounds like a negative word, but I mean it in a positive way. Like, he can take his time, kind of get into the rhythm and flow of the game through the first three quarters. And when it's winning time, okay, he scored half of his 22 points in the fourth quarter of the Kings and Warriors game a couple nights ago. So what to you is different about the way De'Aaron Fox is playing this year compared to years past, where maybe he's averaged more points or had more big performances, but it wasn't as win resulting as it is right now?
Well, just look at the, I mean, I always say look at the numbers in a sense that, you know, his shooting percentages are up right across the board. You know, he's getting his 25, 24 points on fewer shots. And so that's just a more productive basketball player. You know, I would say this, and you know, certainly the defensive effort has been much better. You know, he has been a real factor defensively. Is you know, he rebounded a little better. He's just a better player. He really is playing at an all-star level. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. We're seeing the Fox today that we wanted to see a couple of years ago, but it's all a process. And certainly want to give Mike Brown a lot of credit for that, because it certainly happened on his watch, and certainly some of his staff has been had a role in it. And I'll take another thing. I think the key to this team, and you know, people could say what they want, but Domantas Sabonis makes it all work. You know, he's just a better version of Vlade Divac. You know, I mean, he's a more talented, skilled, he can do more things than Vlade could. And he's not too far off of Chris Webber. You know, he's of that caliber, big. And that's why I said when they made the trade for him, it wasn't against, well, I love Halliburton. He's terrific. But, you know, to find a big of his skill, where were you going to find one? You certainly weren't going to get it in the draft. And so that's where Monty really stepped up and took a risk, giving up a potential all-star lead guard in Halliburton to get a guy who is your lead center. You know, he's the guy that makes this offense go. I mean, he leads in assist. He sets screens for everybody. He can get his 18 points on 12 shots and never look for himself. You know, I mean, he's almost unselfish to a fault. So, and that to me is blended in with Fox, who is a scorer. Yeah. I always said people want to say he's a playmaker. No, he's not a playmaker. He's a scorer who can make plays. You know, he's another version of Donovan Mitchell, that type of player, which I have no problem with. And Sabonis really is the reason it can work. And that's why it didn't work in years past, I think.
Yeah, I think it's pretty significant that Fox is still the star of the team, but Domantas Sabonis is arguably the foundation or the spine, the backbone of it. And I wonder, do you daydream ever as a coach, Jerry, thinking back to, man, if I had a player with the skill set and with the ability that Domantas Sabonis had, does that ever creep in your mind of how much you could do with a team just by having a player like Sabonis?
Well, of course, I think in my day, I'd always dream about having Magic, Worthy, and Kareem as my building blocks. I thought I would have done better, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt that, you know, in the NBA, it's a talent-based league. And if you don't have a couple of all-star level players, you're not going to win. You're just not. The old idea of, you know, we as fans sometimes want to think, boy, you get a whole bunch of guys that just like one another and sing kumbaya, and they can win games. Well, they might win one now and then, but the bottom line is it's a star league, as the major stars of past years have proven and will continue to prove. And that's why we don't know yet just how good this team can be. But we do know they have a couple of real star-type, all-star caliber players. Certainly Sabonis has already proven, and we think Fox is in the way of proving that. And so there's no reason then to believe you can't be a winner for some years to come.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by a new sponsor. That's Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car that you want whenever you want it from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, and hey, check this out, coming soon to Australia. You can book a spacious SUV or a minivan for a family road trip. You can get a classic or luxury car for a special event, a birthday, or a holiday. You can find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Test drive that new electric vehicle that you've had your eye on, and you can see how it fits into your everyday life. You can do all of this at Turo, and many Turo hosts can even deliver their car right to you. Every trip is backed by a liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions do apply. Forget boring rental cars. Find your drive at Turo.com. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar. Yeah, they are back, and they have three reimagined flavors for their Built Bars: Cookie Dough Topper, Coconut Brownie Bar, Coconut Brownie Topper. But that's not all. They have white chocolate peppermint granola. It's Built's take on the granola bar, so it's more filling, and it still is insanely tasty. And there's candy cane brownie, the puff, which is a protein-infused marshmallows. It's like biting into the universe's most delicious cloud. All of these products available for you right now, and all of them healthy. They're revolutionizing nutrition as we know it, with 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, and shockingly low sugar and calories. 130 calories. That's it. 130 calories. You can just sink your teeth into that first bite, and it'll change your life forever. You have to try this stuff at built.com. Whatever you order, use our promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com. An 0-4 start to the season, which included three losses at home, to now winning seven of the last nine games. The Kings are above 500, 7-6. That's significant to a lot of us, but that was game 13. There's still so much season to go, Jerry. So a lot can, of course, change, and a lot can happen. But Mike Brown has spoken very openly and honestly about how part of the 0-4 start was on him. He said he was trying to figure out guys, figuring out what worked, figuring out rotations, and he was putting out lineups that he wasn't necessarily fully confident with, but he had to kind of see what they could do together. He's now seemingly found his rotation, so much so that you're seeing consistently when players are checking out of games. A perfect example is Fox is usually one of the first guys out of the game in the first quarter so that he can come in and close the quarter and start the second next to Malik Monk. And that's been consistent over this winning streak. From your coaching perspective, how significant is it to use regular season time to figure out those rotations? But when those rotations click and you feel like you figured it out, how much does that translate to the results that we're seeing?
Well, it definitely translates. And I mean, and give Coach Brown credit. I mean, I think he's figured it out in very short time, you know, and I think with a roster this deep and new that, you couldn't know what you don't know until you've seen some things in action. And I think with Coach Brown, he tried some things, tried some different patterns of substitution. I think he's got it, in his own mind of where he wants to go. Obviously, how he uses Metu, how he uses Lyles, with Davion and Monk, and of course Terrence Davis off the bench. You know, I mean, it takes a while to figure out maybe how's the best way to use those guys. And the fact, of course, it's a great problem to have because they're guys he knows now. There are NBA players that you can bring into the game. You know, when you take out a Kevin Huerter, you got a couple guys you can put in there. That's not going to be a lot of a drop off. And, you know, you got a terrific rookie in Murray, but he's still finding his way, and you can play without him, which they know. So, I always said there's only two things a coach can do is once a roster is established, is motivate them and utilize them correctly. And I think Mike Brown is an A-plus in both those areas. I mean, if you have no talent, it makes no difference. Or if you can't motivate, you have talent and they don't want to play hard, it makes very little difference. But the point is, he's doing a great job in both. He has talent, he's motivating it, and in my mind, he is utilizing it very correctly. And I think he's figured out that we gotta let Fox have a lot of freedom to score, make sure Sabonis is involved in every play on the half court, and he certainly is.
Jerry, we had you in studio at ABC 10 during the NBA finals. And when you were there, this was, of course, during the draft process before the draft, I asked you who you liked for the Sacramento Kings to take. And I was thrilled when you said Keegan Murray, because I was feeling the same way. Now, Keegan unfortunately hurt himself, or I think he would have had a much bigger game in that Brooklyn Nets game. He would have got going like the rest of the entire team did. Also, early on in his NBA career, has been dealing with a little bit of family tragedy issues or issues with his grandmother, who he's very close to. So he's been facing some trials very early in his career. That being said, while he has shown struggles, he's also shown what is a tremendous amount of promise, a lot of things to be excited about. My question for you is, did you expect Keegan Murray to be this good? Because even as someone like myself, who was a huge Keegan Murray fan and homer, I did not expect Keegan to translate to the Kings and translate to the NBA as well and as quickly as he has.
You know, I got to be honest, I'm not a bit surprised. In a way, I almost expect him to be better. You know, one of the reasons being that in the NBA today, shooting is such a premium. You know, all the skills are important. And this guy is a big-time shooter. He was a big-time shooter in college. You know, you saw that quick release, the range that he had, easy range. There's really no strain to it. I kind of equate it a little bit to Tyrese Halliburton. As a rookie, you know, where Tyrese could really spot shoot the ball. And then as he learned how to play off the dribble, create some shots off the dribble, then you saw much more of a player. And I think that's what you're going to see with Keegan. He's in the process of what can I do off the ball? Can moving without the ball? Can I escape dribble and make shots? And we've seen glimpses, but we're not to the point to what we're going to see. But a big time shot maker in the NBA today is with 3-point shot and the style of play is far more valuable than it was 30 years ago. And it's a little bit of a different game. I mean, you needed shot makers, but today's game, you better have 4 guys on the floor to make threes at all times. And he's another one who can.
I imagine he's a coach's dream as a rookie in a lot of ways too, because he's one of those guys that can fill up a scoring column quickly. And when he needs to lead your team in scoring, if he really has to, but he doesn't do it by needing a million plays drawn up for him or being a kind of ball hog, ball stopper in isolation. He has scored. And when he led the summer league team in scoring, he was still scoring within the flow of the offensive system that they're trying to run. And when you're playing next to De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis, there's so much attention away from you that I know Keegan Murray can almost be a poacher about that. But am I right in that assumption? Is that like a coach's dream from a rookie to be that effective, but do so just in the flow without having to be prioritized?
Well, he's a perfect fit for this team. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, Ivy or Mathurin, other terrific rookies taken after him. Well, they'd be outstanding picks, and they are. They're going to be good players. But I don't see any way they'd have been as good a fit on this team as he is, because of just exactly what you said. I mean, he really blends in. At some point he's blending in maybe too easy. You want him to, and I think that'll come, though. You know, I mean, it's easier to get guys to be more aggressive than less aggressive. So I think that, his game he'll add to it. We saw that in the summer league, to where as he went, he got better and better and better. And I think that's what we're going to see, that, his teammates have a lot of confidence. They have more confidence in him than he does in himself right now. But that'll change. But yeah, his demeanor, he can play 5 minutes without shooting the ball and not get hungry and force one, which, is very rare with big name players. So he's a great fit. I think he has the talent to be a Peja Stojakovic type of guy. He really does. He's a work in progress. Whether he'll get there, we'll see.
This episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is also brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball, soccer, esports, they've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, they have those there as well, including all of the Locked On podcast network shows that you love. Check this out. The best lines that you're going to find anywhere else, not to mention really fun prop and side bets for you to enjoy. The Kings are favorites against the San Antonio Spurs at home tomorrow, so you can bet on that game if you're feeling good early and feel like the Kings are going to win five in a row. Whatever you're betting on, they're the fastest and easiest way to get that betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. What do you think of the two guards that Monty went out and got this offseason? You have Kevin Huerter, who is shooting over 50% from three-point range at a high volume here 13 games into the season. And then you have Malik Monk, who I consider to be kind of the heart and soul of that second unit. And he's really figured out his role with that second unit. What do you think about the two of them and what they've brought to this Kings team?
Well, I mean, they've really made a difference. You know, I'm kind of on record with the Kings Herald that a thing I do there with them. And on Malik Monk, I said in the middle of the year, he'd be a perfect guy to target because you knew the money that the Lakers had, they couldn't probably keep him. And I just thought, you know, Malik Monk was starting to show the kind of player that we expected him to be when he was at Kentucky, you know, a big time shot maker that could, and certainly he's an aggressive, tough minded young player. And so what we've seen is exactly that. You know, he's continuing to grow and a really nice fit, not just with Fox, but with the team. And I think where I'm surprised is his ability to make plays. Mm. You know, he has more ability to make plays than I envisioned. And so that to me, that's a real bonus. And so that's a plus. And of course, Huerter, I'm no way surprised by that. I mean, I am surprised that he's so much better off the bounce. But I watched a lot of Hawks game because I'm always been a fan of Bogey. And then Larry Riley is a good friend who was a consultant there and all. And watching Huerter, and it's like, yeah, this guy's a shot maker. Yeah. You know, a shot maker that is a lot tougher mentally than people realize. I mean, I always say, you know, he looks like a little choir boy, but he's got a little shit bird in him. And I love that. You know, I mean, he's not going to back off anybody. He's out there to compete. And now he and Sabonis have already developed a wonderful relationship. And I mean, of course, Domas is so smart. He knows who can make shots, and the Huerter can really make shots. And so, yeah, I am surprised he's as good as he is, though. I didn't expect his ability to play off the dribble to create his own shot as well as he has. That part has surprised me. So, but that happens. You know, I always said it's kind of like McCollum in New Orleans, you know, when they got him from Portland, everybody said, well, yeah, but he can't play point. Well, of course he can. He just didn't get to.
Right.
He played off the ball because Lillard's better at it. And that's no disrespect, but when he had to become the leader and extremely effective, like he did in college, if anybody paid attention, well, yeah, he's damn good at it, and he made him better. And so, and I think that's a little bit of Huerter. He was capable of that. He just didn't get that opportunity.
Well, Jerry, last thing I have for you, last night's atmosphere, sellout crowd in the Golden One Center, it was special. It was fun. And I think you alluded to it earlier. If and hopefully when Sacramento makes it to the playoffs, we don't just expect that building to be popping. We expect the entire city to be popping. We expect the entire city to almost shut down basically around that game. It might be a play-in game. It might be an actual playoff series. Whatever it is, my question, I'm putting you on the spot. I'm making you forecast a little bit. Can we count on Jerry Reynolds being in the building for that game? Because you've called a lot of bad basketball over the last couple of decades. I think you deserve a little bit of your shine being in there to see that.
Well, yeah, for a playoff game, I'd sure like to be. Let's put it that way. I mean, I enjoy just staying home watching. You know, I'm probably like yourself. I watch League Pass, watch every game I can watch. Right. Still, you know, without any, I don't have to. That's why it's even more fun when you don't have to. But yeah, that would be special. You know, I'm at the age where I didn't know if I was going to get to see the Kings get to be a quality team again. So. You know, if that happens, and I think it will, I really, you know, injuries are such a key. And so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves because the Kings have been probably the healthiest team in the league thus far. And I think sometimes we forget that. I've always said, you know, you look at all the hoops hype stuff and they talk about all the guys who aren't going to play every game. And I always say they might have it backwards the way the league is. Just have a list of the ones who are actually going to play.
Right.
Might be a shorter list, but yeah, it'd be a marvelous thing. And I think the town will be, you know, I'd almost go back to 1996 when the Kings had missed the playoffs for like 8 or 10 years and the Mitch Richmond team and all and played Seattle. And, you know, in my mind, that was almost the most exciting. That was the loudest crowd, I think, up until the, you know, the Lakers series in the 2000s. So anyway, we've got a lot to look forward to, Matt. I know we'll do that. So let's just hope and a little bit of luck. This franchise, this city, fans deserve every bit they can get. They deserve it. Absolutely do.
Well, damn it, Kings, do it for Jerry, too, because I want to see Jerry in a suit on the TV set during a playoff game having to finally talk about a winning basketball team for once. But I appreciate you coming in here talking Kings with me, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to have you on Locked on Kings. Continue the great work that you do over with the Kings Herald, and it's such a treat. So I hope to see you very soon.
Well, you will. And always great to be with you, Matt. You know that. Always enjoyed our time in the press room, eating a little free food and talking basketball.
Yes, sir. Man, what a treat to have Jerry on Locked on Kings. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. If you want to respond to anything that we talked about, please do so. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeSack. You can email me, MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com, or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. I will be in the Golden 1 Center for Kings and Spurs tomorrow night. If you're going to the game, let me know. I'd love to see you. Love to say hi, chat with you a little bit. Maybe the atmosphere won't be the exact same as the national TV game last night, but I still expect it to be fun. And yeah, I'm expecting a Kings win when it's all said and done. We'll have a post-game pod. And then G-Man, Gary Gerald, Kings radio broadcaster. He's going to join me on Friday's episode of Locked on Kings to recap this incredible week, hopefully capped off by another Kings win over San Antonio. But regardless, win or loss, G-Man will be joining me here on the show. Very excited about that. Hope you are as well. Thank you so much for your support. As always, can't wait to have you join me on the next episode of Locked on Kings. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked on Kings podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network.